Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. You know, we've had a very warm summer, but fall is around the corner. It's back to school time. There's going to be football. And of course, there's going to be a presidential election. I'm joined this morning with my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, great to be here again this morning, and I'm looking forward to fall.
Yeah. Do anything special this summer?
Not special? Well, other than we just celebrated my wife's birthday, that's the specialest thing's going to be, right?
Yeah, it's special. Yeah. And we've had some interesting events. We had a great event out here with at Liberty Hawk where we're sitting now in the studios of Pirate Money Radio. We had General Flynn and Lara Logan and a stuntman, and that was fun.
Well, I mean, special. If we want to talk about really other special events, we had our summit for legislators.
Yep.
And getting lots of response to that as we move into this 2025 session. So it's going to be a action-packed year coming ahead, but excited about the opportunities.
Yeah, we had our 300th episode party for Economic War Room. That was fun. Yeah. Hey, have you seen any movies, summer blockbusters? Did you get out and see any of those?
I got to admit, I'm not good at getting out to the movie theater. There's not been anything that's really caught my attention that says I've got to see this thing. I was on flying American Airlines the other day and did watch an old movie, a classic, the original Captain America. And I was like, man, that was a great movie. I'd forgot how good it was. And I was wishing we had more like that.
It had a Western civilization, biblical Christian worldview. It was heroic. It was so positive. You know, and the latest one out that's out from Marvel is Deadpool. And, you know, while it's not overly woke, and it's actually done pretty well at the box office, and, you know, the woke Marvel movies have just done horribly, like the Marvels and things like that. But it's Deadpool. So it's foul-mouthed and a lot of cussing. And, you know, there's nothing I could recommend. Yeah. We haven't seen a movie, but there's a movie coming out August 30th. That is next weekend. That's titled Reagan.
I am excited about that one.
Yeah, we got to screen it very early on. The producer's a friend, Mark Joseph. And he's been working on this film for a long time. It looks so good. It's got Dennis Quaid and John Voight and Penelope Ann Miller. You saw the early screening, didn't you?
I did. And without the music and all the effects, and I still was just amazed by it. And it brought back so many memories and just the leadership that Reagan had and the vision. It was an inspiring movie.
Yeah, the trailer's out. Have you seen the trailer? Let's watch that. Okay.
Welcome to your life.
There's nothing a retired governor can do, but a president.
Now he can do a thing or two.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
I will be frank with you that as a citizen, I would not like to see any political party outlawed on the basis of its ideology. Because I still believe, Mr. Chairman, that democracy can handle it.
I was a brand new KGB officer, given my first intelligence assignment, a certain actor and union leader.
Dutch, there's a purpose for your life.
You can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're gonna have to stand up to him.
It's my boy!
There's about to be another war right here in Hollywood. The commies on one side, the mob on the other, and you're right in the middle, son.
If you put as much work into your career as you do making your speeches, you'd have an Oscar by now.
Hello, I'm Nancy Davis.
Hello, Nancy Davis, I'm Ron Reagan.
I'm curious, Ron.
What would you say is the issue of our time?
No question about it. Communism and the Soviet Union.
Get in the game. Run for office.
It's you.
I'm running for governor and I would like your vote.
I've forgotten your name.
Do his initials help, RR?
Honey, Roy Rogers is here! And he's running for governor!
Ronnie, remember when we met? You told me that you wanted to make a difference in this world. You know what you have to do.
Governor Reagan, again, typically, is against such a proposal.
There you go again.
But he was
not afraid to take us on.
There's nothing a retired governor can do about the Soviets, but a president, now he can do a thing or two.
Welcome to your life.
I was a lifeguard on a river.
There's no turning back.
And I learned how to read the currents. Not just the ones on the surface, but also the ones deep underneath the water.
I am about to start the biggest war of this century, and I'm not going to fire a single shot.
You're going to blow up 8 years of diplomacy.
Well, if you think that got their undies in a wad, you just wait.
What did the president know, and when did he know it?
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight!
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wow. You know, I actually tear up a little bit when I see that. It's so nostalgic for me.
Oh, it is. That river where he learned to read the currents. My grandma is from Dixon, Illinois, and actually gave tours of his house. And one of the cool things about Reagan was, you know, when he made president, he didn't forget those that were, you know, still honoring him and doing the tour. So when they did the Reagan Library, she got a personal invitation out to that. She got invited to the White House, and he's just an authentic, great guy.
Yeah, I've gotten my own personal stories when I met him and so forth. And I got to go to the Reagan Library and tour it with Michael Reagan, his son, and I got to tour the Reagan Ranch in Santa Barbara area with Ed Meese, the former attorney general. You know, when I saw that the clip, there's a quote where Reagan says, "Don't outlaw political parties. Democracy can handle it." He had a faith. Now, I don't believe we live in a democracy. I believe we live in a republic and our leaders are chosen through democratic means. But nevertheless, this whole notion that our democracy is at stake, so we have to keep somebody off the ballot. Our democracy is at stake. He should never be allowed. We have to put him in jail. We have to do this, that they're trying to do to Trump, runs directly counter to this idea that our democracy can handle it.
Yeah. Of course, there's a force multiplier there, which democracy with a media that doesn't necessarily always speak truth is a little bit concerning.
Yeah, no. And the other thing I saw in that was seeing a president shot and the emotion I have. I remember exactly. You remember where you were when you heard that Reagan was shot? And now we have that same thing, except they're trying to memory hole it.
Yeah.
They're cutting it off Google search engines and everything. No, President Reagan was shot. He really was. Now, he didn't get shot directly at his ear and so forth. But that touched me. And then the other thing that touched me, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And, you know, for those of you watching this, behind me is a chunk of the Berlin Wall. So you get a feel for how powerful that was and how important it was. We're facing an existential threat like we did the Soviet Union then. We're facing that from China today. And we're going to have to face it with the same courage as Reagan faced down the Soviets.
Yeah, yeah. And Reagan had a great vision, and he knew how to, he was a great influencer. He knew how to, this whole Star Wars initiative. I remember all the hits he got in terms of, that's impossible, that's stupid, you know, there's no way you can do that, but it worked.
It's Iron Dome now, protecting Israel and so forth. So I remember the 1980s before Reagan, we had hostages in the Middle East. We were a divided nation. We had an economic malaise. We were challenged by a cunning adversary that was a communist. And we ourselves were slipping into Marxism. And the media hated the guy that stood up to say, make America great again. And yes, that was not Donald Trump. The original MAGA, I've got the button to prove it, was President Ronald Reagan when he ran. Actually, he was former governor at the time. Ronald Reagan, the governor, with the buttons, make America great again. So history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And we're seeing a very serious rhyme, even including the assassination attempt. All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back after a break. We're remembering Reagan here at Pirate Money Radio. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking with Mike Carter. We're talking about Remembering Reagan, the new movie that's out August 30th in theaters everywhere. You can learn more at reagan.movie on the internet. I remember him, and I remember the change that, you know, we were both just graduating from high school, going into our college days back then, and really, the country was in a terrible malaise.
Yes, yeah, it was the Jimmy Carter era, and it was crazy.
Inflation.
I remember my mom saying, "I don't know how you'll ever be able to afford to buy a house." It's kind of interesting. We're back in that scenario again. I was like, well, that all worked out. But right now you look and I'm saying to my kids, I don't know how you're ever going to be able to afford to buy a house.
Yeah, but it did work out because we put Reagan in the White House. We got some really conservative policies. They were highly successful. The hostages came home and, you know, things turned around. The stock market is something that I noticed, though. Because I began my investing career right out of college, and the stock market had bounced from, gosh, it had been in the 1,000 level, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, believe it or not, which now in the 40,000 range, was at the 1,000 level, and it bounced between 1,000 and 700, so it lost 30% and then bounced back up from 1966 to 1982. That's a long time for it to go nowhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, Reagan changed some policies and things really took off. You know, and people are worried today. They don't know what to do with their money. Well, there are three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Well, Reagan came in and you know, money started work again. The dollar was under threat and under attack, just like it is now. It got strong under President Reagan with his policies. He gave us hope, inspiration. The stock market took off. You know, it didn't look back from there. And we've really enjoyed over 40 years of stock market gains. And Ronald Reagan is the one that made that possible in a lot of ways.
Yeah. He set the culture, he set the vision, and he set the policies that really moved this country from stagnation to real growth and real innovation.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so nostalgic. We watched the trailer. We've seen the movie. The movie is taken, the Reagan movie, and it's out August 30th. It's taken from the perspective, it's very unique, from a KGB agent named Viktor Petrovich. Now, I interviewed John Voight on the Economic War Room, and he corrected my pronunciation. He had worked with a Russian to make sure that he got it right. You know, but it was just a phenomenal opportunity. John Voight, you know, he's a great actor, Academy Award winning. He's one of my favorite. Kids loved him from National Treasure. Hey, did you get it? Can we roll clips potentially from that interview? Because I think it was a great interview, and it was an honor for me to be able to speak with him. Have we got those clips? John, it's incredible having you join us. You know, I got to meet President Reagan once. I was a kid. I was like almost 30. And we went to his Century City offices, and he was just out of office. And I invited the great Charlton Heston to join me, and we presented an Adam Smith Award to this amazing president. Did you have the chance to meet or work with President Reagan at all?
No, I did not. The closest I got was I did visit his ranch at one point. But no, I did not have the pleasure.
Well, what memories do you have of the Reagan era? What do you remember from it?
Well, I mean, I was attentive to what was going on, and I saw this battle. We were all concerned about the Soviet Union and this, you know, the Cold War. And here was this man who came in, and he turned things around. There was we were in a very strange dance with the Soviet Union, and he had very clear ideas about how to deal with it. And I watched as they as forces came together. I remember following John Paul II a little bit in that time, and then of course Margaret Thatcher, and it was a very, very interesting, very dramatic time. And through it all, this man was very poised. He was his. I remember his statement on the various. At the various key moments, and he would talk to the country. And his, for instance, the Challenger disaster, when that happened, it was quite a shock to all of us. And he came on the air, and his speech was so beautiful, so positive, so loving, and so appropriate to talk about the heroes of that disaster and what those that space movement meant to people and the character of the people involved, and heroism, and how it's needed always, and sometimes sacrifice is needed. It was a wonderful speech. And I remember, you know, I remember at all those times when he would step up, and you knew you had a strong voice and a spiritual voice in a very gentle and clear way that gave us all an uplift at times of difficulty.
Well, you know, that's from the eyes and the view of a patriotic American, John Voight. How about from the KGB agent, Viktor Petrovich? What would he be seeing at that time of Reagan?
The character I play is a character named Viktor Petrovich. Viktor. And Viktor, I work with a young actor from Russia, Russian actor, young fellow, very nice fellow. And we had a great time working on the piece together. But Viktor, in this, he becomes the kind of voice of the story, and he followed him from the beginning, and was a KGB agent at the beginning, and then he, in watching this man and spending so much time with him, he started understanding and really getting behind Reagan's point of view about so many things, and he understood the suffering of his country, and he was going through it, and he recognized at one point that this man was going to save his country, that not only was going to bring down the Soviet Union, but he was going to save the people, and that's the I shouldn't have told you that, mm-hmm. But that's I revealed it anyway. But so there's a sympathy. He's sympathetic to Reagan's career, and he tells the story to a young man who comes in and says, "Why didn't the Soviet Union make a stand against this? How could we have lost the country?" And he says, "Well, you know, there are other people you could go to tell that story." I say to him, and he says, "But you were there." And I say, "Yes, I was there." And I tell him the story, and as I go through it, I explain many things to him. And he turns around by the end of the film, too. So,
you know, and that's the amazing thing. I remember living it and watching. I remember when President Reagan was shot. I remember what the Soviet Union was like. My college professors telling me Marxism is inevitable. It's dominant. It's going to win. Yeah. Our economy can't hold up. But it seems, and I got this from the film when we first screened it, and I saw an early screening with Mark Joseph, it seems like as much as Reagan did economically in economic warfare to bring down the Soviet Union and tear down the wall, he demoralized them at the same time by showing that liberty really is better. And I kind of got that from the movie and the way you portrayed it.
Yeah, well, he did that. And I remember that time where he was in, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was, he met Gorbachev for the first time. And I remember the first thing he did, he came, by the way, came in a suit, and Gorbachev, very attractive guy at that time for the Soviet Union, young man, and he had a coat on and a hat, Reagan was out there without a coat, without a hat, and looked very breezy and, attractive. But he grabbed him by the arm and he started talking. He said, I want to talk to you about the Soviet Union and tell you what's going on with your country and what's the problems with it and where I stand. Exact bing, right off the at the beginning of their relationship. And he was able to do that. He really was a student of all of this. And that was a very gutsy move and a very appropriate one. So he was quite eloquent about that and very strong, and he's made his mark.
You know, Mike, I had the chance to, after the interview with John Voight, I had a chance to speak with John Lunchowski, good friend, and John was Reagan's number one Soviet advisor for a period in the White House National Security Council. Brilliant guy. And he was the architect of a lot of the strategy that we did politically on Roger Robinson on the economic side. And we're friends with both of them. They've come through the economic war room. And I shared, I talked to John Voight. And it was Reykjavik, Iceland, where they met with Gorbachev. And, I told him, you've got to see this movie, and I'm going to introduce him to John Voight because
it's great.
Honestly, we need to get this story out. It has such an impact.
It does. And for those that live through it, it's inspirational. For those that haven't, that don't remember a Reagan, my hope is that people will take their kids to it and they'll be able to see what really took place and what could be ahead still for America.
You know, we've had the most amazing couple of weeks here in the economic war room. In just the past couple of weeks, I met with Charlie Kirk, Ben Carson, Dinesh D'Souza, Mike Smith, who was a stunt double for John Voight. And I talked to John about that a little bit. He said, oh yeah, he's a great stunt double. And he's made some incredible movies that we've talked about here. And we just had him on Pirate Money Radio and on Economic War Room. We had Mike Flynn, Lieutenant General Mike Flynn on Pirate Money Radio, and Lara Logan. Incredible
had them all out
people.
To the ranch here and to be able to talk with them and get their pulse on what they see happening and how these people are coming together, these thought leaders, to really work towards what we're so focused on, that liberty, security, and values is encouraging.
We have our Reagan moment now, and history is going to judge us 40 years from now. Did we take advantage? Did we do what we could do? Were we the little ships that made the difference, like we talk about from Dunkirk? This is our moment. We're facing the same challenges. We got a president that's been assassination attempt, and wow, this is something we're going to really have to work on. And all of the audience, it's not just our future, it's our children's and grandchildren's future. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more Pirate Money Radio. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. But what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future.
Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And also Mike Carter. Hey, Mike, do you remember we were friends in the late 80s, early 90s. Do you remember when I said I'm going to Century City and I'm going to meet President Reagan? Do you remember that?
I remember when it was just an idea. I'm like, Kevin can probably pull it off because he's that kind of guy. But you not only did that once, you did it multiple times with these great influencers, connected with them. But I remember when you actually met with Reagan. I was like, wow.
Just once with President Reagan. But we've met some amazing people. My wife has been praying for me. If you see a man skilled in his work, he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. That's the Bible verse that she uses to pray for me. And I've had the chance to meet so many, you know, billionaires and presidents and so forth. But when I met Reagan, it was around my 30th birthday. He was just out of office for a couple of years. He was in Century City at a private office there. And his people said, yes, they would accept the second Adam Smith Award for Individual Excellence and Free Enterprise. And Adam Smith Foundation was something I'd started with a buddy from high school, John Hellander, and I started the Adam Smith Foundation. And we gave the first award to John Templeton, the great money manager, and we gave it to him in Tulsa. I figured in the case of Reagan, I'm not getting him to Tulsa. But we would go see him. So we got original edition copies of The Wealth of Nations. And my brother, I think, had a relationship with Charlton Heston's private secretary, Carol Lanning. And so he said, you know what would be fun? We ought to get Charlton Heston to go with us. Because, I mean, if you're going to meet Reagan, you could take anybody in the world pretty much and they would go and yep. consider it an honor, like you're giving them a gift. I mean, how else am I going to get?
I don't know how I missed that. I should have been, Kevin, can I go with you?
Well, you should have gone with us. We took a group of Okies and Texans. It was like the Beverly Hillbillies heading to to Hollywood. And we got to give him an award. And I'll never forget the number one, the quality of the books, The Wealth of Nations, original edition, just beautiful. And Mr. Heston got to actually hand him the books, but I got to hand him a plaque. And we had a little ceremony. I'll need to drag out that videotape. It's on VHS, so we'll have to get it digitized so we can share it sometime. And we went and met with him. It was amazing. He was so warm and so cordial. And we said, Mr. President, this is because of all the things you did. And he said, what did I do? All I did was get government, pardon the language, the hell out of the way, which I think is appropriate. He got the hell out of the way and let you good people. We've talked about this. Remember our episode we did on regulation?
Yes, yes.
His goal was to reduce taxes, reduce regulation, decrease government, let government do the things it should do, protecting national security and things like that. He did it and the economy boomed. We beat communism, at least beat it back. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like Dracula.
Yeah,
it's come back, but
but it's a simple model. If we can stay to those truths, and we can do it again. And that's the encouraging part to me as we look at what's going on here today. Now that book, I do remember that quality Adam Smith book that you got. Didn't Reagan doodle on it or something?
Yeah, that's a great story. Yeah, so when Marnie and I got married, first married, we had the chance, got invited by Michael Reagan. To take a private tour of the Reagan Library. And I'm like, Marnie, you know, let's look for the books. Yeah. We're going to find the original Adam Smith Foundation or Adam Smith Wealth of Nations books. They'll be here somewhere in the library. We searched that library. Finally, Marnie says, just ask. How is it that women, I'm like, let's look. And just look. And she said, why don't you ask for directions? You know how women do.
Yeah.
What a good idea. So we did, we asked, and the docent for the library said, oh, President Reagan loved those books. They were his favorite. He loved those. He actually studied them. He was reading through them, and he made notes. And I paused. He made notes. In an original Pickering and Chateau out of London 1776 edition of books, he made notes in them. These were original. You don't mark those up. Okay, this is a piece of history. And then I stopped and thought, wait, Ronald Reagan made notes in an original. Now it's truly a piece of history.
Something tells me that's books worth even more now.
It's probably the most valuable copy of The Wealth of Nations in the library. I said, where are they? And she said, oh, we rotate the collection, and these are so valuable that we don't have them out very often.
Wow.
So I thought that was cool. And then we went from there, and the former Attorney General of the United States, one of Reagan's very closest friends, Ed Meese, I've gotten to know it. Ed, and you know, he's in his 90s now, just an amazing guy. He's at Heritage Foundation. I met with him multiple times on multiple things. But he took us on a private tour of the Reagan Ranch, and we got to see the table where he signed the tax cuts.
Wow.
That caused the economic boom. So that
what an opportunity. I'd love to see the ranch. That's and I guess it's still open, right? You can still tour it, not privately, but occasionally.
It's owned by the Young Americas Foundation. I'm not sure exactly how they arrange tours, but it's being kept. It's a beautiful place. California is such wonderful. I mean, we have Liberty Hawk Ranch. It's nothing compared to it's very awesome, and we love it, and thank you God for it, but the Reagan Ranch is one of the most special places on earth. And the house is very small.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
And Secret Service had to build this massive building that they would house Secret Service in. You know, so, and he loved his Secret Service. They saved his life.
Yeah, yeah. And they were probably set up to save the life of the president at the time. So
yeah,
hopefully we're getting back to that now.
Oh, man, I don't even want to comment on that. Today, what happened? I mean, they would never have allowed a shooter 180 yards or 130 yards away to have a line of sight. Oh, that's just awful. Yeah. It's just awful. I hope we get to the bottom of that as a nation, because that is one of the worst things that I can ever imagine.
You know, Reagan, when he got shot, though, he was great at offering humor. It wasn't like, you know, out of sight, you know, and he hoped that the doctor, the surgeon, was a Republican, you know, had a little fun with it. Trump, you know, that assassination attempt, it did kind of the same thing. And I think that's why the media is trying to cover it so much, though. It wasn't out of humor, but it was out of, you know, a true leader of, you know, fight, fight, fight. Don't stop. We got to fight for this freedom that we have out there.
Yeah, no, he's a very strong man. I think of myself as a reasonably strong person, but I can't imagine being shot in the ear and then standing up and putting my fist in the air. That's a bold, courageous leader. I mean, whatever you want to say, that is an example of courage.
Yes.
So, all right. So humor, though, is important. And I think it's interesting. You've heard me say this before. It's a TV show from the 90s. It got crass at times, Seinfeld. But I say all the time, it was a show about nothing. You remember Seinfeld, a show about nothing. But everything has a Seinfeld connection. I've made that point. It's,
yes,
it's
you
like
do that all the time.
6 degrees of separation.
I think
separation.
You've memorized every episode of Seinfeld. So.
I don't know if I've memorized, but I did have the opportunity when I was interviewing John to ask him about one of those episodes in which he had a very small cameo appearance, but it was, you know, culturally hit. Do we have that clip that we can play?
I've got one question for you. It came in from Seinfeld's George Costanza. Did you ever own a Chrysler LeBaron convertible?
My mother did, as a matter of fact.
Did she really? That's funny.
She did. But no, I didn't. It wasn't my car.
Well, that was J-O-H-N, I think.
The fellow who wrote that episode asked me when I'd done my little piece on the set and just bit Kramer's arm. He said, John, would you just come around the corner and take a look at this something for me? And I said, sure. And he said, did you ever own this car? We came to the car. I said, no, I never did. And he said, darn it. And he said, and so the whole story was built around actually his experience.
Yeah. Well, the production team at Economic War Room, they know that I think there's a Seinfeld reference in every aspect. The show about nothing really has a connection to everything we do in life. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. if you remember the episode, George Costanza was Jerry Seinfeld's friend. He was always making mistakes, getting in trouble. In fact, they did a whole episode where it called Opposites, where he did the opposite of what he would normally do, and his life was perfect. He got a job with the Yankees, got a girlfriend, everything. But normally he was bumbling, and he was in looking at the car dealership, and there was some note that John Voight had previously owned the car. It was John, J-O-H-N, Voight, but he didn't, you know, he thought it was John. So he bought that car just for that reason, and it wasn't the ideal car for him, but it was a pretty funny episode.
Good to bring back all those memories and to see John Voight just reflecting on some of these stories. He's a great actor. I thought he did phenomenal in this movie, in the role that he played, and as well as Dennis Quaid. So excited about this movie.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. We've got to get Dennis Quaid on Pirate Money Radio or in Economic War Room too. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his films. He's one of my, you know, The Rookie is one of my favorite movies. Parent Trap, of course. My kids loved Parent Trap. And Reagan now. He did a really good job portraying President Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think of... He was in the Christian movies, a few of them. What was the name of the one Christian movie where he was the father? Do you remember that? Russell, you probably...
The Hill? Was that the Hill?
He was in that one. Ricky Hill, the baseball player, and he was, but I can only imagine. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And he played the dad. He's a really good actor.
Yeah, well, one of my favorites has to be the Ricky Hill one because my wife has a little song in it. When they play it on the radio, she's the one that's singing the song on the radio. So,
yeah, no. So he's been in Christian movies, he's been in blockbuster movies. He did it. I wasn't sure he could pull off Reagan. Reagan is such a distinct character, and Reagan himself being an actor. So I thought, how will they ever get anybody to play him? But Dennis Quaid did it. And Penelope Ann Miller as Nancy Reagan, really good as well. A lot of history and this nostalgia, what we can learn from it. These are really powerful. Movies are powerful things. America doesn't want woke movies. This is one that is not woke. It's something that you can go see. You feel patriotic. And it takes you back in nostalgia, but it also says, what should our future look like?
I think it's interesting the timing of when this is being released, because we saw the early release and there was discussion about it coming out a little bit earlier. But it's almost providential, I think, that with an election coming up and all the activities that we're seeing economically, geopolitically, and so forth, that this movie is coming back to kind of give us, show a little bit of how history repeats itself and setting maybe a vision to get America back on track again.
Yeah. Mark Joseph, there's no way he knew that Trump would be shot. But how Trump came back is amazing, and how Reagan came back. This movie is one that will give you lots of hope. We're going to take another break. When we come back, let's talk about the lessons for young people in Reagan the movie.
Throughout history, the spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year. It's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And Mike Carter. And we're here, Mike. I remember as a kid, everybody would be talking about FDR and World War II, and that just seemed ancient history to me. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And yet it wasn't, you know, World War II was closer to my birth than 9/11 is to kids being born today.
Yeah, so it's scary how fast time really goes.
It does go fast. And yet we fail to learn from history too often. And so you talk to a young person about Ronald Reagan, you might as well be talking to them about Grover Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, that was way before I was born.
It's a president that maybe if they had some kind of history, at least remembered he was president because they had to remember history of presidents or something. But other than that, they don't know anything about him.
You know, we'll see movies on Lincoln, who was a great president and did amazing things, and history on Jefferson and Washington, but they're so old-timey that mm-hmm. they don't have an impact. Ronald Reagan is relevant. And we shouldn't forget that. That's what I love about the movie Reagan in theaters August 30th. And you can see, I mean, it's going to be released nationally. It's a big movie. It's not a small movie. It's a big movie with big actors. John Voight, who we interviewed, and Dennis Quaid. This is one that if you remember Ronald Reagan, you might want to take young people you know to see it. It brings that nostalgia. I mean, we had the nostalgia of the movie that came out during the Reagan era, Top Gun, and then Maverick came out later, you know, just a couple of years ago. And Maverick, I felt so patriotic seeing that. It was wonderful. And it was a chance to introduce young people again to some of the challenges that we've had and really good character qualities.
Yeah, I think if we can get... if you can bring the younger generation to this movie, whether it's your grandkids or kids or whoever's listened to this, this just, I think it sets up for hope again. The economy in the 70s was horrible. The economy right now, I'm just hearing on the radio this morning, as second quarter reports are coming out, middle America is and blue collar America is hurting right now more than ever
with inflation.
Yeah, same kind of thing. But there is hope, and I think if this younger generation can see that, you know, we've been here before, we managed through it. This is how they did it, and they can understand some of those principles. It's a great opportunity to see the movie, have dessert or coffee afterwards, and say, you know what? Here's some analogies to where we were back then, where we're at today. And why this election, and I know we hear it all the time, every election is important, but why this election is so important.
Well, the socialism model is miserably failing. So we have government subsidies going to Intel, for example. We're going to build a semiconductor chip business, and we're going to give billions of taxpayer dollars to Intel. And what does Intel do? Just a couple of quarters later, they announce they're laying off 15,000 people. And they're cutting expenses, they're doing all these things because the socialism model doesn't work. Yeah. When government gets too involved in free enterprise and instead of letting the free market operate, mm-hmm. it's harmful. Well, Same thing.
We just saw solar. I saw a big solar company that we gave billions of dollars to is just declared bankruptcy now. So.
Well, and the failure, how about the minimum wage in California went to $20 an hour. And then the next thing that happens is prices go up so much that $20 an hour is no longer a living wage. And so we're going to have to raise it again. It's just an endless cycle of government intervention. So do we believe the free market approach works better, the liberty approach, or do we believe that the top-down government control approach? Reagan, the movie, answers that question directly. Mm-hmm. And not only does Reagan demonstrate it to the American people from the perspective of the movie, he convinces John Voight's character, Viktor Petrovich, he convinces him that the liberty approach is better. So he literally demoralized the Soviets in their top-down government control approach and sparked liberty. That's what we stand for, liberty, security, and values.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the movie.
Yeah, I want to see the final version of it. All right, so we've got another clip from my interview with John Voight talking about how do we impact young people. Could you roll clip four?
Yeah. Well, what can young people learn from this movie?
Well, I think they can learn what the presidency is all about, and see the challenges that almost daily invade the Oval Office, and how a man of great talent, who is destined for the job, handles all of these difficulties. It's life is full of challenge, and young people sometimes think they're going to get to a place where there are no challenges. There are challenges continuously, and especially in the office of the United States presidency. And you see this man, how he sailed those waters pretty beautifully. So,
I like that quote, destined for the office. What made Reagan destined for the office? I think it's prayer. I think it's the prayers of the saints. I think it's people who say got on their knees and on their faces before God and said, this nation's going the wrong direction, God, we need a turnaround. And that's not portrayed necessarily in the movie, but it's what I recall from history. Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, just watching that movie from what I remember several years back when we saw the first early edition of this thing, Reagan was not about creating chaos and trying to capture media attention, but he was about, he knew what he stood for, the values of America, and he was just a very inspirational leader all the way through. And was able to, and it was a different time in politics, but he was able to joke around with those on the other side of the aisle, and they were able to kind of get along, but then he was also very, very excellent at saying, but this is the way it is, and this is what has to be done. And to the point that even his Democrat allies or counterparts respected, you know, Reagan.
Yeah, no, they did, but the media actually went after him. They told us he was stupid, he was a dumb actor. I mean, he'd been governor of the largest state in America. He was not a dumb actor. He'd been the head of the Screen Actors Guild labor union type thing. He really, if you read Reagan in his own words, letters, I think we've got that book. And When Character Was King, we've got that book. I've read his speeches, and I've read what he really stands for. Now, you get some of that, by the way, on Trump when you can get these video clips of him that the media hasn't been able to censor, and they get out. But the media's just vicious towards President Trump. They were vicious to Reagan, and he just had to win them over one at a time. Media used to love Trump, by the way, until he decided to run for president. They thought he was a media darling. Oprah, everybody loved him.
Yeah. And I think that's the most discouraging thing of what I see in America today. The media has always had a bias, but it is when we see almost the censorship of, well, an assassination attempt didn't happen. You see some of the just complete nonsense that they're and the censorship that's taking place out there. That's where we're in a different spot today. And so people need to really be alert, be aware of what's going on, and find their trusted sources.
You know how we beat that back. Do you remember when President Reagan died? I think it was 2004, and every media outlet in America came out and talked about what a bad president he'd done, how he didn't fight AIDS properly, he didn't do this properly, he did this wrong, he did this wrong. And the American people so loved Reagan that they poured out that devotion and passion for President Reagan. They had to change their tune. They backed off. The way to make, you know, I think the way to change the tone and tenor in America today is to do it Reagan's way at our level. I don't know if you'll ever get Trump to be as winsome as Ronald Reagan, even though in private he apparently is. In public, he doesn't seem to know how to do that. But the supporters of President Trump can be winsome and kind and loving and so forth. And we're not endorsing, you know, a candidate here, but I would have to say that seeing Reagan in the movie, it did remind me a little bit. Yeah, I watched Reagan. I think Trump is kind of a combination between Reagan and Churchill.
That's a good analogy.
And so, yeah, we're going to have to make those decisions. And we had Biden, and now it's Vice President Harris running. But you know, watch the movie and look at the policies and see which fit and support the candidate that you think is right for America. You know, that's your decision. It's not ours to tell you who to support. But I really did enjoy watching the movie.
Right? Yeah, and you know, you're right. You bring up a really good point in terms of if it is to be, it's up to us. We can't rely on one leader. We know nobody's perfect out there. But as we stand for liberty and security and values, that is that loving. That is that, you know, watching out for your neighbor. That is being open and encouraging those and helping those in need and giving them hope. And I think that's so much what we need to get back to as Americans, and to certainly what we talk about here on economic war all the time, that liberty and that security and the values. You see, I saw a social media the other day where the guy went to the to the Harris campaign site and they threw him out, you don't belong here. Went and he had a Trump shirt on, changed his shirt to Biden, went to the Republican side and they were accepting and loving. Now, I don't think any of that was edited, but that's the model that we want to see. Hey, we love you, might not agree with your values or where you're at, but we are Americans and we need to be together.
And we should vote biblical values. That we can absolutely say on American Family Radio. We can absolutely put forth biblical values, and biblical values are liberty. The greater the liberty, the greater the prosperity. Security, we have need a strong national defense. And then values, biblical values. The producer just put up on the screen the 9 most dangerous words are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Reagan taught us that. Too much government intrusion in our lives takes us away from the biblical truth. Government wants to be God instead of God being God. So this is an opportunity. It's a big election. It's a great movie. It's something you should... I'm just going to recommend it. Go out and see it. Buy out a theater if you want to. You can learn more at Reagan.movie. It comes out August 30th in theaters everywhere. I think we should send a message to America. Let's move this to the top of the movies for 2024 because it does display liberty, security, and values, the 3 things that we promote here all the time on Pirate Money Radio.
I think that would be great. The only thing I'd like even better is if I could do it with my state-based transactional gold, my pirate money. Not quite there on the state side, but I guess I could do it with my app.
We'll take Reagan-esque approach and get that passed. Hey, if you've got questions, send us your questions at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. That is afr@piratemoneyradio.com. This is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Till next week, we'll see you then.